John Roderick is the frontman for the indie band The Long Winters. Before he was a professional musician, Roderick was just a kid growing up in Seattle and Anchorage, a kid with dreams of wandering, breaking free, hitting the open country. Well, Roderick did live that dream in a way that was bold and fearless and occasionally clownishly inept. It all stemmed from a lifelong fascination that was first sparked in the middle of the city.
It actually happened at the Woodland Park Zoo when I was a little kid. There was a train, like a train you could ride. There was an engineer. It was a little steam train that went completely around the zoo. You could take a kind of tour of the zoo on this train. But when I was 8 years old, I started to hide in the bushes and wait for the train to come along. And I would run along behind and jump on and hold on to the back of the train. And then it escalated. I started to have a cap gun and put a bandana over my nose and run along behind the train and jump and then, you know, say, "It's a train robbery." And, you know, I was eight. So adults in the 1970s were a lot more tolerant of that kind of unsupervised mischief. Growing up in Alaska, you're an American. You know you're an American. But you're also thousands of miles away from America. So we fetishized America. And this was during the era of MTV and you'd watch these music videos of Bruce Springsteen or John Cougar Mellencamp. And they're depicting this America of, you know, high school football games and a kind of Midwestern cult during the 80s. And from Alaska, it all looked so exotic. It was as exotic as looking at a movie about Europe. And so I started to imagine traveling in America as a thing that, where there was a lot of wisdom to be found there, hitchhiking and going from state to state. And that's part of the American mythos too, that you're a poor writer and you stick out your thumb and you go find the real America or find yourself. I graduated from high school and it was kind of almost a surprise. I expected that I wouldn't graduate. I got a one-way ticket to Seattle and I came down with a friend and we were going to set off across America. I was kind of looking for that thing. How can I be my most natural self? Uncompromised by, you know, this like gradual chipping away at one's authentic humanness by these indignities, these small indignities. Your grade cards and your power bills. You know, all this stuff that feel like indignities to a young person. I did want to achieve as close to a state of freedom as I could. We stuck our thumbs out. And we made it down to Tacoma, and we were sitting on the side of the road with our thumbs out. And we realized we were right across the street from the Tacoma Yard. And we were watching these freight trains come and go. And this gradual dawning, like there's no fence between us and the rail yard. There's nothing keeping us off those trains. And then the world went from black and white to color. You know, our minds were flooded with all these secondhand memories of hobos traveling across America. And so we walked across the street and at first really tentatively kind of hopped up on a boxcar and looked around and there wasn't anybody there to see us. It took us a while to get on a train that was actually doing something other than just moving around the yard. We spent a couple of hours just getting shuttled around from track to track. But eventually we got on a train and it headed out of town and it was just rainbows. Because the train immediately goes somewhere where the roads don't. It was more than I expected. It was better than I expected. Because it really was free. And it's like you're riding an animal, like a prehistorically sized animal that no one else has the chutzpah to ride. And when that first train came to the Columbia River in Vancouver, Washington, It stopped. And we panicked. And we jumped off. And the train took off and went across the bridge over to Oregon. And so in the middle of the night, we crossed that railroad bridge over the Columbia, which there's no like sidewalk. It's just a railroad. And so about halfway across that bridge, another train came and we had to sort of grab onto the girders of the bridge and swing our bodies out over the river and hold on because there wasn't room for us and the train to be on the bridge at the same time. And then later that night, we realized it was too far to walk to Portland. We were exhausted. And so we found a big field and pitched our little Boy Scout tent that we'd brought from Alaska. And when we woke up in the morning, we realized that we had pitched our tent in a landfill. We were on a section of it that had been kind of covered with a little layer of dirt, but we were awoken by big bulldozers and stuff moving fresh garbage around. And you can imagine what the bulldozer operators thought, this little pup tent and two teenagers, you know, poking their heads out in the early morning, surrounded literally by hot garbage. I mean, realizing how big the country was and how little I knew about it. I mean, I'd memorized all 50 states and capitals, but I couldn't picture it in my mind as I was embarking upon it. So the next train I jumped on in Portland took me to Duluth, Minnesota, and it took 3 days. The train went through a landscape at one point where it was a garbage dump of tires, old truck tires and car tires, but it seemed like the tires went on these rolling hills as far as the eye could see in every direction. And growing up in Alaska, I couldn't have imagined such a place existed. And this was a place where tires had caught fire and were just smoldering for, you know, some places where they just could never get to the bottom of the tire pile enough to put them out. So it was just like, it was almost like Mordor. And I did get to places where there were hay bales and windmills and high school football games. And in that, it exceeded my expectations. You know, America is bigger and more beautiful and more mysterious. A few years later, I was down in the freight yard down by Georgetown. And there were trains getting set up, you know, freight trains getting set up in the yard. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, the trains. And I went down into the yard just to be close to them and feel that energy. And I got down there and they're terrifying. A freight train in the middle of the night, like they're enormous and really scary. And I'm standing on there, and I wasn't that much older. You know, I was in my late 20s by that point. But I couldn't recapture what I had been thinking, what kind of fearlessness I must have had. It isn't just that I'm a homeowner now and a 50-year-old man with a kid who's compromised all of his youthful ideals. It's that it feels like a different life.
John Roderick lives in Seattle, where he makes music and podcasts, none of which are about trains.